Welcome to the Plan Simple Meals podcast. I am your host, Mia Moran. Moms have the power to change the future, one meal at a time. The Plan Simple Meals podcast is for busy moms who want to create a healthier, happier home. Listen in for informative conversations and valuable strategies to make meals healthy, meaningful, and fun. Let's do this. Welcome to this episode of the Plan Simple Meals podcast. I'm really excited to dive into our episode today. It's part of this series that I envisioned being about women's bodies and looking at both our bodies and maybe the bodies of our daughters, if we have daughters. And I went out and I sought out people to interview on this topic. And though I feel like we definitely touch on those things in this episode and some of the other ones I did in this series, I realized pretty quickly that the series was going to be about something a little bit bigger, about really tapping into our inner knowing and really taking responsibility for our own health. And this episode today really is inspirational on that front. So today I'm interviewing Karen Schachter. And you're going to love this episode because she's so full of fabulous, fantastic energy. And in one sec, I'm going to let her introduce herself because she's got a lot of credentials. And so she's going to give you guys the ones that best satisfy the needs of this show that you might be interested in. But before we get her on the line, I just wanted to also remind you guys that in all these episodes, we're diving into this concept of mindset and our mindset and the mindset that we're passing on to our kids. And I think that this concept is one of the most important and a lot of times overlooked aspects of big change, especially when it comes to our health. And it's definitely the aspect that I think really made my lifestyle finally stick 7 years ago, because believe me, I had tried for a long time to change the way I ate, but really changing my mindset enabled me to make it a lifestyle change and really enable it to stick even being on the road these 14 weeks this fall. Like, that was really my big test, and it was fine. It was great. Like, that wasn't the part of, if I ever experienced stress, it wasn't about the food or the healthy lifestyle. It was about, you know, getting on stage and speaking in front of people. So mindset is something I've been thinking a lot about this year and how I can pass that along to my peeps. So I've created this amazing course that's going to be going live in February. And in February, or in late January, I guess, you're going to be able to buy it. And it's going to be $497, and you're welcome to wait till then and buy it. But I'm just feeling like there's all these pieces to a healthy lifestyle. There's the food, there's the mindset, there's that accountability of just having a group of amazing people to hold you to what you want to do. And then there's this idea of mentorship and really getting someone to get you off on your right feet. And if that someone is me and those components sound great to you, I've put together this holiday bundle, and you're hearing this almost toward the new year. So this holiday bundle is available just until New Year's. And then I'll move into each individual program launching as the new year unfolds. So if you're interested in really tackling your health in 2017 and you want an incredible deal to do that, please head on over to plansimplemeals.com today. And the banner is now changed at the top to be this holiday bundle. And you can sign up there to just, you can just opt into it. There's a way that you can, right below it, that you can sign up to have a quick chat with me if you want to do that before you sign up, just to make sure it's the right thing, which is totally cool too. Oh my God, I would so love to connect with you guys. So do one of those things if this sounds interesting to you, because I tell you, 2017 is going to be a fabulous year, ladies. So let's get on with our episode. I want you to hear this. So Welcome to the show, Karen.
Thank you. It's great to be here.
Oh, good. So tell us a little bit about more about yourself, and then we'll dive into questions.
Sure. Okay. Well, first and foremost, I'm a mom, which I always lead with because to me, that's my biggest and most important credential. I have two kids, a daughter who's 13 and a son who's 15. And like most of us, being a parent changed my life. I'm also credential-wise, a psychotherapist. I've been practicing for 20 years, and I've studied health coaching. I have a certification in health coaching, psychology of eating coaching. I've done sexuality training, and I've done work around energy. And so I kind of support women and girls through all these angles, including, of course, my own story around becoming myself and moving through a serious eating disorder, moving through some body image struggles, having a daughter, and really wanting things to be different for her.
So will you tell us a little about your story?
Sure. I guess the best place to start is back to my preteen years, which is often where these stories of girls losing their voice begins. We're born in our bodies and we're born being ourselves, and then somewhere along the line, usually around sixth, seventh, or eighth grade, we become aware that we are being seen from the outside, and we start seeing ourselves through the lens of our peers. And for me, that meant, and of course that's happening right as our bodies are changing, right? So for me, that meant seeing, moving into a place where I started to really judge myself harshly. I'd always been sort of a good girl, a people pleaser. And I hit seventh grade, my body started to change. And of course, the only way for me to manage the anxiety around what other people would think, was to try to control that. And I started dieting. I was very good at dieting, very successful.
Me too.
An excellent dieter. And then that I moved through, I moved into high school, and by sophomore year of high school, I learned how to binge. So friends of mine taught me how to binge. So I moved from what I like to say, I went from a diet to a binge to a diet to a binge to then I learned how to throw up. And I, at that point, had a full-blown eating disorder that lasted for 9 years, which I then healed in my 20s. So that's sort of like the beginning of my story. Because, when you heal an eating disorder, and Mia, you might have some thoughts about this as well, you're healing more than just your relationship to food. You begin to heal, like, what do I want to say? Who do I want to talk to? Where do I need to say no? And what do I want to say yes to? It's really about kind of coming into a relationship with yourself. And I did that. I did that. And then fast forward till I was 40 years old, and I'm in a marriage to a nice guy with two nice kids and two dogs and a really great life. And yet I hit a point where I was suffering from adrenal fatigue. My body just got run down from major stress. And I find this a lot with women that I work with. Like, I betrayed my body and sort of betrayed myself in a way because I was still, even though I had healed so much of the eating stuff and the body image stuff and even so much of the self-esteem stuff, there was still a way I was trying to keep everything together and be a good wife and a good mom and do the right thing. And I had exhausted myself, totally and completely exhausted myself. So my story sort of ends, or not ends, my story continued and when that sort of woke me up again in terms of, and that's really leads to the work I do now.
And I feel like if there's people on the call who don't relate at all to sort of the eating disorder thing, I get the question a lot about daughters. So I feel like probably, unless there's a mom with three boys listening who, doesn't have to deal with this, but I feel like so many of us deal with that second part, the exhaustion part. And so do you feel like the roots to both those situations are similar?
I think the roots are similar. And look, it plays out different ways with different women, depending on what our, you know, our conditioning was, depending on who our role models, our female role models were, and how they took care of themselves. But what I think for many of us is we are not trained as girls to, you know, really listen to our body, listen to ourselves. We think we're trained kind of to think that our identification comes with being a good ex, a good friend, a good mom, a good wife, a good worker. And so that we can run on a treadmill of trying to be good enough to live up to a certain expectation without really asking, wait a second, what am I hungry for? You know, what do I need? What do I want? What feeds me both on a, you know, so from a food perspective, what feeds and nourishes me, but really from a life perspective, what feeds and nourishes me. And so, yeah, like back to the daughter, having a daughter, I really looked at that, like, who do I want to be? You know, who do I want to be? So she has a different, not just a different role model, but a different feeling when she's with me. Like she really can feel my filled upness versus my depletion.
Yeah.
If that makes sense.
Yeah.
I don't know if that was a round way of answering your question.
No, I love that. I love that. And so it's so interesting. There's so many different parts we can go to. So let's start with, let's start with mom. So let's start with mom's feeling either depleted. I mean, I get this a lot in our private Facebook group about, you know, just wanting to figure, I get the question a lot of like, how do I lose this weight or, you know, this baby weight or, you know, how do I, we just recently had this whole conversation because people were starting to ask like, how much is too much, you know, like how much is too much to worry about like food and what our kids are doing. And I could sense that energy, of just wanting to do this perfectly.
Yes.
More so than anything about what was nourishing us. You know what I mean? Like you can sense that in the conversations. So what are some of your favorite tools or even just one of your favorite tools for moms who are just feeling that point that you said you felt at 40 that, you know, you're trying to do all these things perfectly, food probably being one of them.
Oh yeah. I needed to feed my kids like, you know, vegetables and they couldn't have sugar. Like I was, like I wanted them to be healthy.
Yeah. Yeah.
Super.
So I guess what is one of your favorite tools for sort of self like kindness and self love in those situations so that you can be a good model for your kids?
Yeah. Great question. I think there, it's a mindset shift and there are tools. So the first mindset shift is, really to be a feeler and a knower, like an intuitive knower versus a judger. We learn to judge ourselves. Like we take the idea of a judge and we put it inside of our own brain and we look at ourselves with this very harsh judge. And so this is more of a mindset shift that takes more time, like to think of yourself more as a feeler. I am a person in my body who feels and knows and can trust my intuition versus I'm judging myself with a yardstick. So that's the mindset, one of the big mindset pieces. The other big mindset piece is moving to feeling in your body, meaning like what most of us have been so inundated with the diet mentality and the how to eat healthy perfectly mentality that we have looked outside of ourselves for the knower, the person to tell us what's right, what's good, what we should do versus looking inside of ourselves and feeling in our bodies. Like a mammal is born knowing what to eat. Certain times of the year, we eat different foods and our body naturally gains weight at certain times and loses weight. We intuit. We, you know, if we're left to our own devices without being inundated by rules, we eat the right amount of fat, vegetables, and protein, it just kind of evens itself out. And that's a very, obviously, a very, very hard thing to do when we're inundated with all these pressures. But that's another really important mindset, like really to start asking yourself, how does this feel when I eat this? What is my body? What am I in the mood for? What would best give me energy? Like really begin tuning in and asking inward. So those are a couple things. My all-time favorite tool, I actually have a couple. One is slowing down. Literally sitting when you eat. And that doesn't include being in the car, you know, being on the phone while you're in the car and grabbing handfuls of whatever while you're in the car on the phone. It literally includes actually eating when you're eating. So sitting, tasting, noticing, enjoying. Pleasure is a so slowing down is one, pleasure is another really important tool. I think many of our lives are a little bit depleted of pleasure. You know, we get our momentary pleasure when we go on vacation or when we kind of give ourselves a break, a bath or whatever, but very much very many of us are pleasure deficient. And if we're going to eat something, you want to enjoy it. You want to taste it. You want to savor it. You want to have pleasure with it. Pleasure is awesome for the metabolism. Relaxation is awesome for the metabolism. Stress, and that can be any kind of stress from like, oh my God, I have to do a million things and do this and do that and squeeze my meal in here, to stress of, I hate my body. I can't believe I'm eating this. I can't believe I just ate that. All that kind of internal stress, any kind of stress is not good for the metabolism at all. So those are kind of some very fundamental, kind of basic, but hard tools. I say they're basic, but they are not easy to implement. We have to be kind of
Vigilant.
present, vigilant.
And I love that. I love the feeling one. It's interesting because I've definitely had an evolution with that. I mean, we don't know each other that well, so you don't know my story, but I feel like I'm always telling it on this podcast, so I don't want to retell the whole thing. But basically, I didn't understand about food until about 7 or a little, probably over 7 years now, when I had had my 3 kids, and I had definitely had the whole yo-yo eating disorder thing before. But this moment, I had gained 85 pounds during my pregnancies, and I just like knew that wasn't how I was supposed to be. So that's when I sort of dove into food. But this other thing happened when I started feeding myself right, that all these emotional things sort of melted away as well, because I was actually feeding myself the food that my body could have. So it's sort of weird because it happened in a weird order for me. Like I think I needed that. I needed to understand what it felt like for food to make me feel good. And then as that, because I just feel like if we don't all get those tools in life, you know, I certainly hadn't. And it ended up I had celiac, so I had really been poisoning myself essentially my whole life.
Yeah, totally.
So
I
it's
completely
interesting,
agree.
but I remember this point where I was like, because we're so programmed that our doctors know best. And over the past 7 years, I've, you know, pretty vigilantly tried to figure out a team of people that's better than how it was 7 years ago. But still, doctors aren't necessarily like, that's not their job. You know, like they're really great when we have to have surgery because we've broken our arm, or, you know, somebody has something wrong with their heart. But when it comes to like nutrition and self-care, like they don't always pick up on those things with us or with our kids. And so I feel like that was my evolution in that whole listening part, because it was like one day I was like, oh, like the pediatrician actually doesn't know best. Like I actually can tune into my kids in a better way and understand what's going on with them. And I was like, whoa, like that was just something I had, you know, I sort of went running to the doctor whenever there was like a hint of anything. And I think
I
we do that as a
love that.
society.
I love that. I love that, Mia, because I think it's like we turn to the doctor, we turn to a book, we turn to, you know, a partner, we turn out often turn outside of ourselves for advice on how we should feel, how we should be, what we should do. And it's not that we don't want to gather information, gathering information is awesome.
Yeah.
Right? That's great. But as women, I think there's a way we give away our power.
Yeah.
When we don't become the owners. Like, we're the owners of our bodies.
Yeah.
We're the owners. We're the knowers. And how do we take the information and then have, like what you said, like often it's an aha moment, like, holy crap, you know, like, I'm the one that knows. I'm the one that has to make these decisions. I'm the one that has to choose how I want to feel and be and, you know, yeah, care of myself, my kids, et cetera. I think that's so powerful on so many levels, both like with food and just in life, you know, like,
yeah. And I think it changes, like, and it changes for, especially for women, I feel like it changes more regularly. I don't know if that's, that's a very general comment that it wouldn't change to men, but I know, like, having kids changes your body, you know, the time that you're pregnant versus your after kids changes your body. And then, you know, as you get like older, you know, and I'm not that old, I'm only 40, but I can feel like you feel your body is changing. And right now, I'm on the road on this book tour. So I've driven all the way from Boston to California with three kids. And I'm telling you, like, I'm having to listen to my body in a very different way right now than I am when I'm home.
Well, I was going to say, what you said just really resonated. I was just in a session with a young woman in her like mid 20s, later 26, 27. And, you know, she struggled with some body image stuff. And we were talking about how, you know, living in a woman's body is like being in the Wild West.
Yes.
Right? It's a ride. It is a wild ride to be in a woman's body and to live in a woman's body. And we go into lots of fear and lots of control around it, because it is, oh my God, hormones and pregnancy, everything you said. Exactly. Our bodies are ever changing.
So what are some of your strategies, and I'm sure this also helps moms just deal with the world, but what are some of your strategies for when you're out in the world and there's all this input coming in? You know, how do you sort of distill that yourself and then teach your girls to do the same? Because they're not with, you know, especially as they're going into that time of huge body change at 13, they're with us less and less.
Yeah. I think that's a great question. So it's, you know, it happens on an inside level and an outside level, I believe. One is, I feel like starting as young as we possibly can with our daughters, we want to speak in our voice, language of self-care and self-love and tolerating quote unquote imperfections in ourselves and loving ourselves anyway. That doesn't mean I can't want to lose 5 pounds. Mm-hmm. What it means is I do it in a way like I would want to, you know, clean up my laundry room. You know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm, I want something. I don't like that my laundry room's messy. I'm going to move towards it. But it's different than what many of us do without even realizing our girls and our boys are listening. Like, oh my God, my thighs, I cannot believe that I can't fit in these jeans anymore, you know, or, oh, I just, we do it and we look in the mirror, we make a face. There's so many ways. So I really feel like starting in a very conscious way, mm-hmm, when you're young, putting words to that, being that role model and really working on it internally, because, you know, our kids know everything. If we're just saying the words and we don't really believe it.
Yes.
It's not going to make that much of a difference. So that's one thing. Like, they hear what we're saying at home. They really do take it in. And then they go, and you're right, they get on Instagram and they go into school or they hear men or, you know, maybe in some ways their dads, as you said, or just TV or whatever. And they learn very quickly that the most important thing about me is how I look and how thin I am. Like, that's the cultural message. Which is trying to basically keep us small, in my opinion, and sell us stuff, because the worse we feel about ourselves, the more we buy. It's just it's a thing. And so for us as moms to be aware of that, to ask questions, what do you think about what that lead did in that movie or on the TV show? Like, do you like how she speaks about herself? Do you you know, ask kind of asking questions, starting the conversation with them. What's it like on Instagram with these girls, you know, that are always posing? What's your opinion about that? Mm-hmm. What's your opinion about dress codes? What's your opinion? You know, like real, I think when they're preteens and teens, we start asking questions. And it's not that we don't give our opinion, but we ask first.
Yep.
We ask first, because otherwise we become like, rah, 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 you know, kind of lecturing.
Yes.
Which doesn't really work. And our girls, I think when asked to be wise, they are wise.
Yes.
But yeah, we have to encourage them. Yeah.
Yeah, no, I totally agree with that. And it's funny because I question whether all this is happening a bit earlier or if that just has to do with hormones, because I have a 10-year-old who I already feel a lot of what you're saying, you know, and I have a 10-year-old and a 7-year-old, and I feel like sisters are a whole other, like, a whole other conversation, because they are this very close-knit thing that just compare, that they compare themselves to each other constantly. You know, and so of course I have the one with who's just born with the body, and the other one who has all these food allergies, and her body just does things differently. She's probably healthier than any of us, but you know,
right.
But it's so interesting, and she's so naturally empowered. She's just one, a very strong girl, but it's so it's not interesting. It's sad, but you just watch how as they grow, that gets questioned.
Yeah.
But enough that they start questioning themselves.
Yes.
You know, because I definitely remember being a very shy child and the person who always wanted to do right. And I happen to have gotten a child who isn't like that. You know, she definitely wants to go out and change the world and whatnot. But even that personality starts to feel all these pressures.
Yep, exactly. And I think the best thing we can do is speak to the pressures to our kids. Like, just put words to it, to what we know they might be feeling.
Yep.
And engage them in discussions around it, because it's kind of natural for them to start to feel that. Like, that's a normal developmental phase for them to start to feel sensitive, or what's the word? Like, to respond to what's outside of them, to start seeing themselves from that outside lens. That's a normal phase. So we don't want to like pathologize something that just kind of happens. It's part of development.
Yep.
But we want to keep asking them the questions that bring them back to themselves.
Right.
Because, you know, like I said before, body image stuff or self-questioning stuff is really often about like, right, can I be a knower? And so I think just keeping the conversation open, and I realize that that's easier said than done with a, you know, preteen and a teen.
Yeah.
But it's okay. It's okay that they don't make it easy for us. We can still, you know, bring the questions and let them know we are a stand for their whole being, if that makes sense.
Well, so everyone who's listening who has smaller kids and can't even imagine having teens, because my son is about to be a teenager this year, and oh my goodness, I can't even imagine that much time has passed. But I feel like for those people who aren't there yet because kids are younger, like that, it's such an opportunity to work on ourselves. Because imagine what happens if you're totally centered by the time you have a teen. It's just like a whole different ball game.
Totally. That's the best message so far. Like, that is so important. It is so important. The more kind of grounded and solid we can be when we have teens, the more they can do their thing.
Yeah.
We are like this kind of solid pole. holding a foundation for them. And it doesn't, you know, I think the hardest thing for a kid is when developmentally they're supposed to be, you know, rebelling a little bit against us, which is appropriate again.
Yeah.
To feel like their rebellion is destroying us. So if we're feeling fragile and we're not good enough, unless our kids are great, you know, if we're feeling fragile, that child, the teen, then feels a little bit burdened.
Yes.
Needing to be a certain way to not destroy or hurt their parent. So the more solid we can be in who we are, and that includes, you know, how we care for ourselves, the easier it is, A, to parent a teen when they start rebelling, and B, for them to be who they are, which is really what we want for them.
Yes.
Now, without having to be a people pleaser, caretaker, or go into, you know, total rebellion.
Yeah.
I don't know if that got a little off track, but
no, that's great. It's funny because yesterday my almost teenage son, he's still 12, but we're on the road and we're definitely like in this different mode right now because we're in very close quarters. You know, every once in a while we're staying in a house where we can spread out, but for the most part we've been sort of in hotel rooms and driving in a car together. And so yesterday my 12-year-old son was like, "Mama, I think we should start like exercising together." Because you're getting kind of a stomach. And I was like, so I was like, huh, like, what does that mean? You know, and it's funny because you kind of like have to take a deep breath and be like, okay, because, you know, and that could be one of my triggers, right? Like, because, obviously I do this work for a reason because, you know, it was my trigger at one point. And so it's kind of like, huh, all right, well, like, what does that mean? You know, like, why is he saying that? You know, and, you know, who knows?
Right.
Maybe it is because I have a tummy, but usually it's not. You know what I mean?
No, usually it's not.
And so it's so interesting to sort of unpack those things and almost play more like a detective than, you know, a sponge.
Totally. We can't be sponges. We just can't. It's like so unhealthy for us, and we absorb everything.
So we're getting toward the end. I don't want to keep you too much longer, but I want everyone to know how to keep in touch with you, and sort of what the best way to figure out about your work is.
The best place to be in touch with me right now would be to go to just Karen Schachter.
Yeah.
KarenSchachter.com. And at the time of this actual call, that's not up yet, but it will be at the time this airs.
Cool.
So KarenSchachter.com. You can find me on Facebook, facebook.com/ Karen Schachter, SCHACHTER. And that's up and running.
Tell us about a meal that had a really big impact on you, either because of the food you ate or a major aha you had while being at the table. And it could have been something that, you know, happened a long time ago or just last week with your family, but something that really had an impact on your life.
That's a great question. So many meals come flooding back because I really am a foodie. I love food. I take a lot of pleasure in food. But what just came to mind was an experience in Italy. I was in Italy with two girlfriends and a guy friend of theirs. And we went to this vineyard to go learn about olives and wine. And after the vineyard tour, or whatever, the olive crushing, they were going to give us a little snack. Well, that little snack turned into like one of the most beautiful, connected experiences that I've had. And it was the way they did food, the way Italians do food, and the way this dinner represented this to me, which was, we were sitting outside under the stars, we were served wine that we were sipping and tasting, not chugging. We were, you know, there was just this like connection with all people from all different cultures there and the owners of the vineyard. And they slowly just brought out quote unquote snacks, you know, like just things for us to sort of nibble on and enjoy. And so I think that changed my life less because of what the food was. It's funny. I don't really remember all the specifics of the food. I remember the olive oil was amazing. We tried all this different kind of olive oil. But what I remember is the level of nourishment of that meal when it started with just the setting, the beautiful setting. It started with the way they created this just like comfortable, connected experience. It started with this, and it continued with the slowness of the serving. There was no rush to eat. I think if I could have every meal with the level of like presence and connection, both to my own like pleasure palate and to my and to myself and to others around me, I think that would be awesome.
I love that. I love that. And it's so true. And I think the more we can sort of take that in, actually take in, I feel like the more we can take in Europe as rushed Americans at every meal, just the essence of it is so important. Just a few weeks ago, my son asked if I would take him. We have to be kind of careful in our house because we have a we can't have gluten or dairy. But every once, my son can actually have it. So every once in a while, I'll take him out for something that, he can't normally have. So we went to this crepe place with this run by this French man. It was just like a small place, and my son just got a crepe filled with fruit. And but we just watched this man make the crepe, and if I was in a rush, I literally would have been that awful woman, like yelling at this man, because he was so slow, like so slow. He was like rubbing the top of the crepe, and then he had this when he opened his container that had the fruit. Like imagine like the typical American, just like piles of fruit. No, he had half of a banana and like three strawberries, and he cut them so perfectly and thinly. And really, it took like way longer to make the thing than it would to eat it. But I was in a moment where I could really take it in, and I was like, wow, like every piece of food that he has there, he is definitely treasuring. Like he's not gonna waste, even if he doesn't have enough customers in the day, and he's gonna take his time and he's gonna do this with love. And then it affected how my son ate it, like, 'cause he was taking it in,
Feel the love. I mean, it sounds so like cliche, but we
I
like
know.
feel love in the food and how it's made. And I think our nourishment begins way before it hits our tongue. You know what I mean? And hits our belly. It begins with like what you just described, like just that, the care and the observing and getting excited about what we're going to eat and that seeing what's going into it. Yeah, all of it. I love it. That's awesome. And yes, I do agree. Europeans, oh my gosh, we could definitely learn something.
Well, thank you. Thank you so much for being here and giving us your time. This has been a fabulous conversation.
Thank you, Mia. I love what you're doing, and thank you so much for inviting me. And yeah, I hope to stay in touch with you and anyone that wants to and has any questions, feel free to ping me on Facebook or wherever.
Awesome. So thank you guys for listening in. Have a fabulous day, and I will catch you on the next episode of the Plan Simple Meals podcast. Thank you so much for tuning in to this episode of the Plan Simple Meals podcast. This is genuinely one of the most fun parts of running Plan Simple Meals. I love showing up for these interviews and dishing out content, and I'm hoping that you're loving receiving them as much as I'm loving giving them. So if you are, make sure that you subscribe, rate, and review over on iTunes, because that's going to help us really bring this podcast to the next level, and be able to deliver it for years to come. So thank you in advance for anyone who's doing that. And over here at Plan Simple Meals, I'm constantly trying to think of what the next great bit of content that I can serve you that's really going to help carry your family's health forward. And so the next big thing that's coming up is right around the corner in January, January 7th to be exact. And that's when we're going to start the January Jumpstart. And so for anyone who has health on their list of resolutions, then go sign up at plansimplemeals.com. It's a free 7-day challenge, and you're going to love learning new healthy rituals and foods that you can add into your daily life really easily, no matter how busy you are. All right, you guys, till the next episode.